On VLGA Connect today, we're in conversation with the Federal Minister for Local Government, Mark Colton. Welcome back to the program, Mark.
Yeah, great to be here. Thanks, Chris.
Good to have you with us. Since we last spoke, there's a lot happened, obviously, in response to COVID at the local level. That's the big item of discussion. How have you felt the sector has responded since we last talked, which was about 12 months ago?
Look, I think that the local government sector has really stepped up and taken a lead. It's interesting because quite often, as a regional, former mayor, we always looked at maybe with rose-coloured glasses at some of our metropolitan cousins. But in some ways, they really copped the brunt of the COVID downturn quite early on, because they are, a lot of them are sort of service, fee-for-service based budgets. And the further and more remote you go, they're largely grant-based councils. And so a lot of those regional councils stepped up. They re-tasked staff with, staff at the libraries closed. So some of those folks went off and helped deliver Meals on Wheels and did all sorts of things. And then we've come in with the Local Roads and Community Infrastructure Fund, two rounds of that. And that really enabled them to create some local projects, designed to create work for people who are disadvantaged through the COVID pandemic. It was also to stimulate purchasing all the raw materials through local suppliers, but also leaving a longer term legacy for that community. And so I think from what I've seen, council stepped up admirably into that space and have done a great job. And, as a federal government, we really value the partnership that we've been able to form with the local government areas, the 537 of them around the country, to help deliver stimulus when we need to.
Minister, an often raised topic this last few months has been local government not having a seat at the national cabinet table. What's your view on how the sector can be appropriately heard in these conversations that have been happening?
Yeah, so local government does have a seat at the forum that I chair, which is all the local government ministers. They have a seat there. I think I should reinforce that decision on the national cabinet wasn't a unilateral. It wasn't just made by the prime minister. It was a decision of the national cabinet, which is made up of the chief ministers and premiers and the prime minister. So it wasn't a federal government decision. It was decision of national cabinet. But through the national cabinet or the COAG reform process, there's a couple of places that local government can touch in. And even last week, I had a meeting with local government ministers. The chair was of ALGA was there. The president of ALGA was on that call, and Linda Scott. And we discussed a paper that is now going to ultimately hopefully be discussed by the national cabinet.
Okay, couple of examples. I know you've had one up in the north, and we've had one here in Victoria this last week, where there's been a state government announcement of a potential quarantine facility. The federal minister has said, we need to look at all the viewpoints, including the local viewpoint on this. The local council said they hadn't been consulted. I guess it's a really difficult thing to navigate when you've got so many voices that want to be part of these discussions.
Yeah, look, I think that local government should have a voice. I mean, as a, not as a minister, but as a federal member in charge of an electorate, I've got 18 councils in my electorate. And I always see that they are the elected bodies, and primarily they should be the ones that speak for those towns. Now, it doesn't mean that I always agree with them, and doesn't mean that politically we're all on the same page. But I do respect the role of councils, and particularly mayors, to be the spokesperson for their area. And so, somewhere along the lines, there's got to be a mechanism for local government to be involved. Doesn't always work out. They can be the final arbiter. Sometimes, in major, I'm not sure in Victoria, but in New South Wales, they've got some of the bigger projects sort of get stepped up to the state government to oversee on planning and approval. But in most cases, I certainly believe that they should have a seat at the table because they are the ones that have been elected to represent the views of their communities.
Do you step in on those sorts of issues and advocate for that particular opportunity for the local government to be part of the conversation?
To an extent, but I've got to remember that local government is basically under the control of the states constitutionally. You know, there's been a few, those that have been around for a while, remember there's been a few court cases that query any mechanism that the federal government puts in place to put funds straight to the local government without going through the state. So constitutionally, they are under the control of, well, certainly closely managed by the states. And we've seen, you know, if a council's has serious issues, the state minister can, you know, remove them and put in an administrator or whatever. So federally, we have a slightly different role. You know, there's money that goes through the states, obviously, to them from the federal government. There's also the federal assistance grants that goes to all councils. And then there's other mechanisms that we've used through drought, through bushfire, through COVID, roads to recovery, a whole range of other ways that we do that. So I guess we have a slightly different role to the states, and we see them as a partner that we can, you know, that we can use at various times. But constitutionally, we don't have a lot of influence over each other.
A couple of things you've mentioned already that I want to come back to, one being this gathering of the local government ministers, that forum that you chair, and you've mentioned the ALGA president was there as well. I understand the latest meeting was had a focused discussion on skills and capabilities to respond to this pretty extraordinary situation in regional areas, particularly where we've got record numbers of jobs that can't be filled.
Yeah, so, you know, this week the news is that Regional Australia Institute's identified 66,000 jobs now across the regions. You know, personally, I think we've spent a little bit too much focus on some of the entry-level jobs, fruit pickers and the like, where it's across the full spectrum. And local government is really feeling that as the, you know, the silver lining in the COVID pandemic is that regional Australia has really come out of this very favourably. And so, you know, as people look to move to the regions, they want to build a house, they want to buy a block of land, that's putting enormous pressure on councils. You know, they need engineers to design the infrastructure. They need town planners, they need health surveyors and all of that. And so in some cases they do struggle to find those people. And I'm a great believer in growing your own. You know, I know an engineer in one of the councils in my electorate that started off as a trainee plant operator, and the council paid for him to ultimately do a degree and become an engineer. And I think in a lot of country areas, the council is the largest employer in town. They can play a role. And the federal government's apprenticeship program, the 50% subsidy for apprentices, councils are eligible for that as well. So we've put a paper out looking at the capability issues of local government, how we might overcome that from obviously bringing in a skilled workforce to growing our own. And I think quite often growing our own is a great option. And I think, you know, it wasn't that long ago that the mindset was for a young person to have a decent start in life, they had to leave. Now we need to, I think, show a bit of creativity to let them be the ones that take up the opportunities that are in their own backyard. And so there's a bit of work to do, obviously, around education facilities, you know, training, tertiary training in some of those areas. But I think councils can play an important role. And even if they're apprentices don't end up having a long-term career with the council, chances are they'll probably stay in the region, and they'll still be an asset to the region. So I think there's a role councils can play, and certainly looking forward to National Cabinet looking at that paper when it gets to it.
You might have just answered my question. I was going to ask, where does all this go and what sort of tangible outcomes do you see coming from those discussions?
Yeah, so the next step is it goes to the ministerial meeting chaired by the Deputy Prime Minister on regional ministers, and then if they approve it, we'll then go on to National Cabinet. So that's where we're up to, and I'm very confident that it will get there, and that we can then formulate policy around that.
All right, look forward to hearing what comes from that. Now, the last time we spoke, and I think at the last National General Assembly, of course, it wasn't last year, you mentioned that you were keen to hear from people around how they thought the federal assistance grants system could be improved or reformed. Yeah. What sort of response have you had to that?
Interesting. Quite a positive response. The position of some of the peak bodies is still... We just want a 1% of gross revenue, and we, you know, across the board. But you know, I believe that we need to look at the formula. It's been in place now for I think 40 odd years, and so a lot of the funding with the FA grants has followed the population as the cities have and the regional, you know, the larger regional centres have grown at the expense of the smaller ones. So what's interesting though. Is what I've said to the sector is I said, you need to tell me what you want. You know, this is not just a job for me to go and change things around if it's not what the sector wants. So the Victorian Minister, Sean Lean, he's actually done quite a bit of work in this space. His department has. He's consulted with many of the Victorian councils around this, and I believe even with his ministerial colleagues in Victoria. I know I got a letter from the New South Wales country mayors looking for, some changes to the formulas. And I was in South Australia, met with some regional councillors there. So I'm expecting that some of those issues might come up to the fore at the ALGA conference. And if the body as a whole, can articulate a clear direction, then I'm happy to be their champion to make that happen. But I think at the moment, it needs to be, the sector needs to actually own the changes that they want.
It's a fairly complex sort of system, isn't it? I know it takes a bit to understand how it works. Is there room, do you think, for more flexibility around the country so it's not necessarily the same wherever you go in terms of where those formulas are applied?
Well, that's one of the complexities, Chris, is that it's every state has a slightly different formula. And so they have their grants commission in every state that distributes that. And that was the first lesson I got as a minister, realising that there was that level of complexity. And so one of the things that is not flexible is the minimum grant of 30% of the grant being tied to population. So, you know, all the other complexities aside, that's probably the focus of that. And obviously there's some sensitivities to the larger councils on that, but it doesn't need to be because ultimately, the Grants Commission in each state decides where the balance of those funds be distributed. And at the moment, they've sort of got a pretty clear rein, except for the minimum grant requirement. So that's the argument that's coming through. We really need to let the states decide their own formulas. To say that it's a open and shut case and there's clear support in the sector would be overstating it, Chris. There are very differences of opinion on this, and I think it's an ideal time to have a discussion.
Good luck wading through all of those different opinions.
That's good.
We'll wait to see where it lands. You also mentioned earlier the challenges, I guess, of the federal government being able to provide support directly to local government. Correct me if I'm wrong, but your local roads and community infrastructure fund has been one of those examples where you can directly influence projects on the ground. Looking at a third round of funding potentially?
Certainly, those discussions are taking place, and budgets coming up very soon. And, obviously, if there's any announcements in that space, that'll be the time to look for them. But they have been, the success of those local roads community infrastructure funds is that basically councils get to decide. I mean, they have to get the final tick from the department to make sure that it is value for money as such. But, some councils have focused on community infrastructure. Some have put a higher percentage onto their country road network. So it does give a fair bit of choice to the local councils, but it does provide a large degree of stimulus into those areas, and has kept many people in employment over the last 18 months that otherwise may have struggled.
So stay tuned on that one, you're saying?
Yeah. Watch this space.
Watch this space. Now, speaking of watching this space, I've been watching the space behind you. I'm assuming this is your property. And now, correct me if I get this wrong. Gwydirshire, is that how you say it?
Gwydirshire, yes. So
you're the former mayor of Gwydirshire, aren't you?
I am. My brother's now the mayor, and my father was a previous mayor, but we won't go into that. We've had your viewers, we had 3 years of absolute horrendous drought, and picture behind is a reminder that when it rains, things return. And so at the moment, we're having a great season, and it's my weekend occupation. So my wife and I running cattle there, and it's a nice change from my weekly duties.
Fabulous. It looks terrific. Looks nice and lush and green at the moment, as you say, a reminder that things can change.
Quite.
Excellent to talk with you. Thank you for being so generous with your time. Always great to see you, and all the very best. We look forward to hearing more about those issues that are developing in the coming months.
Okay, thank you. Look forward to talking to you next time.
We've been speaking with the Federal Minister for Local Government, Mark Colton. He's also the member for Parks. And we really appreciate his time to cover all of those current issues of relevance to the sector more broadly across the country. You've been listening to a special episode of VLGA Connect. See you again soon.